And I just am going to just be able to give you only one of the steps because this is so good. We'll only actually go through the first verse this morning because this psalm reflects the pits David had lived through. And really, there are four. If you remember, I told you that David is looking back. He didn't write this thing with mud on his hands. He writes back with the memory of this event, and he's looking back through his life in the past. This whole psalm, it alters. If you read it carefully, it alters between the present and the past. The present and the past. And what he's saying is, I presently know this, but boy, it was bad in the past. I presently know this. And he's constantly looking back, I believe, in the first four verses, at four areas of his life that were pits in his life. And I'll just read those to you and then I'll take you through them. The first one is the pit of defeat. This could be Saul in David's mind. It was so hard. Saul was never pleased no matter how hard David tried. Maybe it was Saul's bitter hatred, his jealousy. But David felt defeated. He felt like he could never do anything to please anybody these days. And he was looking at that defeat. Maybe it was the defeat of David's own son Absalom when he betrayed him and attempted to destroy his own father that left David in despair. We're not sure, but this we know. Look at verse 1. Whatever pulled David into the pit of defeat, be it Absalom, be it Saul, be it whatever, what he confesses in verse 1 is, no matter what defeat he got into, God could rescue him from that pit. That's what he says in verse 1. Look at this. He confesses in Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Do you remember Psalm 13? He said, Lord, respond, please. Hello, you know, do you read me? Come on, answer me. You know, he's kind of tapping the old, you know, microphone. And look what verse 1 is of chapter 40. He said, after I put in the distress call, I waited patiently for the Lord. You see, the Lord doesn't medevac us out of our problems. You know, he doesn't send the helicopter and they whoop down the stretcher and we get thrown on by the angels and we're out of there and everything is great. He had to lay there. And he said, I waited patiently, verse 1, for the Lord. He inclined. The word inclined means he leaned over to where I was. He didn't grab me and pull me out of where I was. He leaned down into my situation and responded. See, that's the neat thing about Christianity. We win, whether we're in the hospital or we're, you know, up in the top floor corner office. We win whether we are out of work or whether we own the company and they can never take it away. We win whether we have perfect health, clean arteries, and everything works, or whether we're struggling with each breath. Because we win. Because God comes to where we are and responds to us right there. We don't have to get out of that problem to be having it solved. It's solved by his presence. And that's the first thing he learns. The second thing is the pit of sin. This could have been on David's mind as he remembered Bathsheba, remembering how David decided, you remember the whole thing, he stayed home from the battle and he wasn't supposed to, and he's strolling around in boredom one night, and he looks down and he saw a lady on the rooftop of her house taking a bath, which was a bad choice for her. You know, that wasn't the wisest thing to do right underneath the king's palace. But we know what he did. He descended into sin. And David noticed her beauty at other occasions. We know this because, did you know Bathsheba was the granddaughter of David's chief counselor, whose name was Ahithophel? Most people never, you know, you get so bored with all those names, you don't even realize why they're there. Bathsheba was not some unknown entity in David's life. She happened to be the granddaughter of this aged, revered counselor of the king. And that's why, if you remember the whole deal with Hushai and Ahithophel, there was hurt. And that's why Absalom was counseled so wisely how to destroy David, because of this whole interplay with the granddaughter being defiled by the king. But that's a different story. But maybe there's some sin that likewise has gripped you, like David. And maybe you're caught in a similar sin. Maybe one sin has led to another and you are hopelessly mired in the pit of sin. And that's the nature of sin. Sin is so powerful and is such a monster, it entraps anyone who plays with it. And while captivated by sin, there is no end to what we can do. Don't ever forget that. Paul describes the Christians in Corinth doing every conceivable sin. Every one of them. as saints. And he said, that's not how saints operate. And he says, God, you know what 1 Corinthians is all about, the chastening and all that. But if you are in the pit of sin, look at verse 2 of Psalm 40. While captivated by sin, there is no end to what we might do, but God is in the business of rescuing us in the pits of sin. And if we flee to Him and cry to Him from our pit, we let Him pull us out and put our feet on the rock. And that's what David confesses in verse 2. He says, He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. Horrible. You can put in whatever your pit is, whatever my pit is. But He brings me up out of this horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Now, when did David get saved? After this event or before this event? Truly, he seems to be talking as a lover of the Lord from his youth. He was fully a lover and a follower and a seeker and what we would call a saint in the Old Testament when he descended into the pit of sin. By the way, when we get to Psalm 32, we're going to examine temptation and sin and chastisement and all that. And the loneliness it is when we are living in unconfessed, unforsaken sin. But David says in verse 2 that God can rescue us not only from the pit of defeat. He was defeated because he didn't go with his army. He was defeated because he was strolling around looking over the edge of the wall down at things. That was just his defeat. But when he got in the pit of sin, the Lord says this. He says, you call on me, verse 2, I'll bring you up out of that horrible pit. I will get you pulled out of that miry clay. I will set your feet on a rock, and I will establish your steps. We know what that means in the New Testament, don't we? Galatians says we walk in the Spirit. Well, what did David find? He found that God came to him in his pit, didn't airlift him out of it, came to him in the pit of defeat, came to him in the pit of sin, and came to him right there and rescued him there. Whatever you're facing in your life, God will come to you if you cry to him. You feel lonely in the pits of life? Don't try and change your life and get out of the pits. Cry to God to come to you right where you are. David says, for all the world to see, he comes, he rescues. Praise his name.